I do strongly believe that if you really want a top-notch salesperson, that giving them some time inside a business development center, I think that goes so far.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Josh is a BDC director in North Carolina, right, Josh?
Yes, sir. Wilson, North Carolina, right outside Raleigh at Hubert Vester Auto Group.
Yes, Hubert Vester. So Josh is going to share his story with you. So please, Josh, go ahead and take it away. Let us know everything from day one.
From day one. So, I mean, obviously I didn't plan on getting in the car business by any stretch of imagination. I don't think most of us actually grew up saying I'm going to be in the car business. So I've got a lot of experience. I started out selling cell phones when, you know, selling text messaging was not even a thing yet. And then left the cell phone industry, was a mortgage banker for about 8 years. So from boom to crash, I kind of dove into the mortgage business and really enjoyed that business. But it was kind of getting to the point where, it was kind of a mess. As everybody knows, we had a nice economic meltdown. And so left that industry and decided to jump into the car business. And so it was just one of those things that kind of came in my head, like, you know what? Maybe I should just try this thing out, the car business, and started out at a dealership that did everything wrong, everything that I hate, which later on brought on the auto disruptor style of what I do now, and was there for about 2 months. Grew up in Paris, Kentucky, where Dan Cummins Chevrolet and Buick was, and decided to hassle them for probably about a month. I would call and call and call and got nowhere until a friend of mine now, a dear, dear friend of mine named Debbie Bellamy, finally answered the phone, told me to come in and fill out a job application. So I went in and talked to Josh Cummins, and Dusty Cummins was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, which he continually does now. And they were like, hey, let's see if we can find a place for you. And couple weeks later, May 15th, 2011, started at Dan Cummins Chevrolet. And so started my journey there as selling cars. I was selling cars right along with Glenn Lundy, and got to see Glenn, you know, through the time I was there. I was there from May 2011 till June 2017. So I got to see this little store of 130 units a month at that time. Go to 200, then 300, then 400, then 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, then ultimately 1,000. I didn't get to see the 1,000. I was already gone. But I did see right at 894 was our record while I was there. I moved into the BDC. That'd been 2011, September 9th of 2011. So I was only selling cars for a few months. And I got approached by Debbie saying, hey, I need help in the BDC. And I think it was the fifth of the month, and I had, I think, 9 cars out, which I was thinking I'm going to have a stellar month. So I was kind of apprehensive at first, before, you know, she kind of was like, no, I need you. So I was the second person, in the business development center there at Dan Cummins, and we took it. You know, I started as a manager in 2013, then director shortly after that. And we grew that thing from the 2 to when I left, we had an operation of 20 people in the BDC.
Now, you're working on your birthday. What a commitment.
Yes. And it's, you know, I'm on Eastern time, so it's 8:00. So we've already closed down and I'm still at it. But when you asked me if I'd be on the show, and I was looking at all the you know, you're like, just pick a date, just pick a date. And I was like, there are no dates, man. I'm looking out for like 12 months. I don't see anything. And finally opened it up for me. I was like, you know what? My birthday. That sounds like a great thing for me to do.
Josh, take me back to the first experience with car dealership you've ever had. You remember the first time you ever walked in a car dealership?
Yeah, I mean, I remember looking to buy a car. You know, I was probably, you know, 19, 20 years old. And you know how it always is when you're 19, 20 years old. They don't exactly look at you like you're going to buy a car. And I actually had a good job, was making good money, and I could afford it. So I went to a Toyota dealership. I was in between, you know, this is going to sound far-fetched, but I was in between a Toyota Camry and a Mercedes C230 sports coupe. Okay. Widely different vehicles. And I went to the Toyota dealership first because I thought, well, nobody's going to let me go to a Mercedes dealership and test drive a car. So I went to the Toyota dealership and they treated me like I wasn't a buyer. They didn't know that, you know, I had some money and I had credit. They didn't know anything about me. And they prejudged that I was just a 19-year-old kid. And they wouldn't let me test drive a Camry. Like, seriously, a Camry, guys. I mean, it's not like it's the greatest thing. They wouldn't let me test drive it. And so they drove me around in it for a few minutes. And, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to think about it. And so it was just, they just kind of brushed me off like a punk kid. So when I went to the Mercedes dealership, I just was walking around the lot and this older gentleman came and introduced himself. And he was like, you want to take it out for a spin? And I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. Yeah, let's go. And it was just an experience. He was very laid back. He was, you know, he was all about the experience, which stuck with me. Because
what year was that?
It was James Motor Company in Lexington, Kentucky.
Do you remember what year was that? How long ago was that?
Let's see. That would have been 2002.
Oh, okay. So you're not 21 because you were 19 in 2002.
Yeah, so I'm not 21. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking all right for my age right now, but I'm not 21 anymore. And so, but yeah, he made it. It was a phenomenal experience, which stuck with me throughout, you know, my life. I mean, I still remember that experience. And just because it, you know, I think a lot of times they think that just because you sell Audi or you sell BMW or Mercedes or Lexus, that it should be a better experience. Where my thought is, if you give somebody who's buying that $5,000 car an unbelievable experience, then all of a sudden, you know, you get more of those people coming in and that they bring more and more referrals to you and you build that off of that experience. And I think that's what, you know, ultimately we have to do in our industry.
So you came from sales and you moved to the BDC. Which one do you enjoy more?
You know, I was built for BDC. I really think that my mind works with the inner workings of running a business development center. I think it takes a certain type of person to be able to do that. And so I absolutely love the BDC. But with that said, I also, like, I love the thrill of selling a car. So I miss selling cars. And so there are times where, you know, when I was at Cummins, I would sell a car every once in a while because we would get so busy that, you know, I knew how to do it. So I would just go out there and do it. And so I miss that thrill of selling a car sometimes. And so every once in a while, I have to get myself out there and get on the floor and talk to customers and get back into that flow because there's so much that you miss. There's so much that you forget sometimes. You forget some of the struggles that the sales guys go after. And so it's good for me to go back out there. And, you know, ultimately my goal is to become a general manager. And so, you know, eventually I'm going to be back on that floor. And so I'm looking forward to that when that happens, because it's something that I believe is going to happen very, very soon. And when that does happen, I'm going to be back on that side of things. And so, but I mean, I love them both, but I really was, you know, it made me pull to my strengths. You know, I'm very, I'm good with customers. I'm good on the phone. I'm good building a team, thinking outside of the norm, when it comes to following up with customers. And so it's allowed me to play up to my strengths with that.
Yeah, so I was following a dealer, I think it was a Toyota dealer from out in California, and they were selling 1,000 cars. So they had a crazy career path. Like, if you don't have any experience in the car business, you can still work there, but you got to work 2 years in the BDC, then you get promoted on the floor, and then you do deliveries for a year, and then you become a sales professional, and then you sell new cars for 2 years, and then you get promoted to used cars, and they had this like a 10-year career path. So because they were selling so many cars, do you think it's better for salespeople or BDC employee? Do you think it's better to go through the floor first or through the business development center first and then become a salesperson? Do you think both of the job descriptions have anything to do with each other, or they're totally different?
I think that the way that it's set up today, there is a little bit of a difference between those. The days of salespeople being jack of all trades, I think has kind of shifted a little bit. And there are some that can do it and there's some that can't. I do strongly believe that if you really want a top-notch salesperson, that giving them some time inside a business development center, letting the BDC manager and director kind of make their scripts, make sure they can sound good on the phone. I think that goes so far, because I had several salespeople come through the BDC. And so it kind of helps them understand what's going on in the business development center. So they have a respect for the business development center. They know what they go through. They know that, you know, a salesperson may be tired of showing that $3,000 car. Well, that BDC rep's got 50,000 calls on that $3,000 car. So they have a general respect for the department. And I think it makes for a stronger, salesperson that can move along in the ranks if they have some BDC experience.
So, for example, what I've noticed, and I have visited hundreds of dealers. So what I've noticed is a lot of dealers would hire young ladies in the business development center with no experience in sales whatsoever. They don't really go through any product knowledge training. As a salesperson in the business development center, have you noticed sometimes some folks, boys or girls, that just are not prepared because they have no idea what the sales process is like? Have you seen that? And
I see a lot when it comes to BDCs, because it all comes down to how you pay them. If you pay your BDC like you pay a glorified receptionist and treat them that way, then that's the quality that you're going after.
Great point.
I think with the auto industry, it's one of the only industries that I know of, and I've been entrenched in it for a number of years now. It's the only industry that we will allow our staff bring down the standards. It's, you know, our standards are here, but we hire here. And so instead of bringing everybody up, we just say, well, they won't use the CRM, so we'll just deal with that. So we'll bring it back down. And so this is the only industry that I feel that we do that. And I think with the BDC, they look at them as glorified receptionists. And that's not, it's not what they are. Yes, you have to, there's a lot of training that goes involved in a BDC to have a full-fledged and fully operational BDC. You have to start, you know, with baby steps. You know, that's how I started here at Huber Vester. And now we're slowly but surely getting more into a lot of the things. They're going through product training, so they know. And you know, I have 5 rooftops. I have Chevy, 2 Honda stores, a Nissan store, and a Toyota store. And so I've had to be able to make kind of gurus inside of there, 2 and 3 people that are gurus in Chevy, 2 or 3 people that are gurus in Honda. And so when we do have those questions, we don't have to rely so much on, I don't know, or let me get a manager call you back. We have a team that can kind of handle that right then and there, because the speed in which you answer those questions with the consumer is what's going to make or break a deal. Because if we think that they're calling you or they're emailing you and just stopping, we're delusional. And so that training, you have to amp it up. This is not, if you want them to be just the appointment setters and you don't want them to actually really dive into this and be an actual career in a sales where you can launch them one day into a sales role or a finance role or one day a management role, then you have to look at everything. They have to know how to put together a car deal. And that's why some of my guys have, you know, I have people that have sold cars in my department. We have where they're going to go out there and they're going to shadow a salesperson. So they know what they go through. Because I think if you don't know, you know, obviously we send our new sales staff to come and shadow BDC, but the same thing has to happen for the BDC. We have to shadow them. We have to know their headaches and where we fall short sometimes, because sometimes we blame the sales staff for screwing up a deal, but we don't know because we've never really been out there on that side of it. And so that's where the blame game comes in. But if you actually have spent some time out there on the floor, then you kind of know what they're going through.
Yeah. Plus a lot of, so what you're saying is there's two types of BDCs. The ones that hire glorified cashiers are basically the girls and boys that will give the out-the-door price over the phone and try to get the person come in, and that's it. And mm-hmm. and the other ones that have some product knowledge, I'm doing the show, sweetie.
Gotta love kids.
Yeah, but we gotta finish with this. I'm sorry, we're doing this in a hotel room.
Gotta love it.
So the ones that are not glorified cashiers, if they get a price question or something like that, maybe they can offer some alternatives if they know the inventory or if they know the difference between the trim levels.
Yeah.
So they can stay away from price. They can build relationship because they have more confidence. And the glorified cashiers would always be anxious about questions that are about the equipment or something financial, because they don't know the elements that determine the payment. They have no idea how financing works. They have no idea what APR means. And that just could potentially be costing the dealer more money than creating more opportunities. So a lot of dealers now are considering eliminating the BDC departments. The reason why they're considering eliminating BDC departments is because of the ratio of phone calls that are being answered. You know, a lot less phone calls are being answered. A lot less phone calls are coming in. So they're thinking about giving the calls back to the sales team, because the sales team are sleeping on the floor waiting for ups.
Yeah. I think it really depends on your dealership. You know, you can have a cradle to grave work. You can have a BDC work. But the problem with a lot of dealerships is that they're always short thinking. They think short term and they wonder why a BDC is not working, but they've never put time in the fact that they need great managers in that department. And so, you know, just like they pay, you know, their reps like glorified receptionists, they also don't pay their manager like an actual manager should be paid. And so then they get, you know, Susie, the dealer's daughter or a cousin of somebody's in their running department because she has a degree. Well, that's not going to work. Like, you've got to get a true, like a person who can sell, a person who can lead a team, a person who can be innovative, a person who knows how to put a good team together and a good culture together to raise the bar. And so that's where a lot of them fail, because they just, it's a halfway thinking. It's just like how they think about digital marketing times. Well, this isn't working because of what X, Y, and Z. My marketing company is not doing this and this and this, but they've only had it going 2 or 3 days. And then they're yelling at the digital marketing company because they want instant results. You know, a lot of dealers want instant results. And the fact is it's going to take time. We've been put in this predicament because sales managers didn't train. They didn't train people on follow-up. And so what did we do? We created a BDC because a lack of leadership and a lack of management. And that's the reason why they became a thing. And so it's their fault that we created them. It's their fault that they have failed. It's their fault that we're now looking back and trying something else out. And so you have to go all in. There is no half pregnant. Believe me, I've had six kids. You're either pregnant or you're not. And so they just have to go all in. They can't continually think about what if or should we change it. They have to just do it. And if they don't, then that's the reason why they fail.